First, I want to say is if you were not here last week, I want to give you a copy of last week's message because there's kind of a, now it's officially a two-parter. And so I want to give you that because you really need it. In fact, some people that are really instrumental in my life have commented that last week's message was one of the most powerful messages they'd ever heard from any preacher, let alone from a, you know, a hick like me. So if you would like a copy, I have four copies of last week's message. Yeah, we got others. We'll burn you off some. Anybody else? And we got more coming if you want them. And again, remember, I'm not handing these out because I think I'm high on me. Because the only thing that's good about me is Jesus Christ. And so I'm high on Jesus. I really believe that the stuff that comes through me is from the Spirit of God. That's why I want you to have it. That's also why we have all those free materials over there, because I think that Jesus Christ is really important to you. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that, go and preach. Go and preach and declare the kingdom of God. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. So everything at Beloved Church is free, because that's what the Bible says. So the gospel itself is free. But it'll cost you everything. Praise God. The gospel is free, but it'll cost you everything. It costs Jesus everything. But don't you know that whatever it cost him, he got back 30, 60, and 100 fold. And actually, if you want to do the numbers, there's over 1 billion Christians that all came from one seed, Jesus Christ being planted in the ground. So he knows how to multiply the things that you give to him. Don't you think that your heart could use some multiplication? Praise God. So last week we were talking about David and his boldness in the Spirit and how that looks and how it manifested itself in his life and his ministry, specifically in his few moments of Goliath's last breaths. And I thought it was very important for us to determine that was a type and a shadow, number one, of Jesus Christ and his victory, but also number two, that was an Old Testament example. So we need to see what that looks like for people who have had their lives changed now by the cross. Time is broken. Even the natural world itself recognizes the fact that time is broken into two halves, before and after the most amazing event of ever human history. Even science acknowledges B.C. and A.D. Amen. And so there is a marketable and remarkable change that took place after Jesus' 3 days in the grave. And so we need to make sure that we understand that as we give Old Testament examples, we also have to understand that we are New Testament people. So the things that happen with Old Testament people, as wonderful as they are, as great stories as they are, as awesome, amazing testimonies to God's power and God's willingness to be involved in people's lives are, they still pale in comparison to how much you are loved in the new creation, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And so I feel I would be remiss if I did not basically finish my sermon because I got so wrapped up in having fun with David. But I have to tell you that I've been wanting to preach on David since I was born. So, and that was the first time that I ever did it. So you got like 39 years worth of, yeah, baby. So let's go to Revelation, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And you can't get any more New Testament than Revelation. Revelation is a book that's named after the revealing of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Messiah. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, in a lot of Bibles, it's actually called the revelation of Jesus. Amen. Revelations chapter 5, I'm going to read down, starting at 1. Revelations 5, 1, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. This book is the book. You hear about the Lamb's Book of Life, and this is the book. And God keeps this book. He's the only one that keeps this book. And one of the things I need to say is that when your name's in the book, your name's in the book. There's no magic eraser in heaven. It's written in blood. He can't take his blood back. If you ever come to the throne, neither sin, nor sword, nor army, nor peril can separate you from the love of Christ. Amen? Does that mean that I'm preaching eternal salvation? That you can never lose your salvation? Absolutely. You can't lose it. You can't lose your salvation like you lose your car keys. You can't wake up one day and just sin and say, oh, now I'm damned. Shoot, I was doing so good too. I went like 3 weeks without doing a major sin, but now I'm damned. Oh well. You don't lose salvation. You have an opportunity to deny anything. You are a creature of free will, and you can deny things, but you can't lose it. Man, that's important. I'm telling you there's about 1,300 years worth of doctrine that I just summed up in about 4 sentences. They've been fighting about that since Jesus left. Amen. Hopefully somebody will ask me about that. I'll give you a whole plethora of scriptures. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel. Now this is John talking about his heavenly vision. And I'll remind you about the adjectives in the Bible. They're not there just to make it poetic, to make it flow better. When John, the apostle, disciple, and one of the most intimate people that Jesus had in his group, says that he's seen a strong angel, strong angel. Whatever vision of you have, Mr. Clean on steroids, strong angel. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. It is biblical for me to have a big voice. Thank you for none of those amens. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Is the angel crying out, hey, who? Who can open the book? You kind of can hear like a taunt. Who can come open this book? Don't you know he's a strong angel and he's standing there with God's book? Basically, he's like, come on, who can come open this book? The book. Who can come? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. That's some power. That's some power. Amen. We're talking about boldness. This is God. God's bold. This is His book. No man. On earth, in heaven, or under the earth, it's important that they put that there because we think that some evil people are very strong. You put them in comparison, there you go. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hallelujah, see how this is coming together, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lion. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's Jesus Christ. He's the root of David. He came from the natural lineage through Joseph, his natural father, who was actually his stepdad. Those of you that have come from weird, broken homes, hey, guess what? You're in good company. Jesus Christ came to save the world from a broken home. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. In fact, us natural family people are probably outnumbered. Praise God. He also came from David's genealogy through his mother. He was twice the Savior, twice the Messiah. And he was also of the generation of Judah, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, who was Jacob's 12 kids. So what they're saying here is that Jesus' name is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Last week we preached on David. We talked about who David was on the inside. And I'll remind you that genealogy in God's affirmation comes from inside. Those of you that have had sin in families and sin in past, and I know there's a lot of books out there because they sell really good about breaking generational curses and all those kind of things, but let me tell you something. If anybody had some generational curses on him, it was Jesus. And you don't see the chapter in the Bible where he got on his knees groveling and bleeding over trying to get God to release some generational curses. He just got baptized in the Spirit and changed the world. Those of you that think that you're still under some curse from some generational curse that your dad had this, went this way, and your mom did this, and you know it's in your DNA to be addicted to something, stop it. Grow up. Jesus has changed your genealogy. You're in a new family. You actually don't even belong to the earth anymore. It says that you're a citizen of heaven. You left this place, you went there. Your old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things. Well, all things but my genealogy. No! You get a new family. You get a new bloodline. You get new DNA. You get brand new spiritual roots. And it comes from Jesus. But if somebody can trick you into thinking that you're still involved with your old life, if you still have old tendencies, if you still have old desires, guess what you have? The old way. But if you can believe who you are in Christ Jesus, then you can chart a new course. You don't have to follow in your father's footsteps unless your father is Father God. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. You can take after your brother, Jesus. He was pretty cool. Amen. He makes your cool brother look really stupid. Praise God, that's good stuff. Now, don't be looking at your brothers now. I've seen y'all. Amen. I didn't look at my brother. No, I did not. Amen. I want to read this to you out of the New Living Translation. This is verse 5. Down there at the bottom it says, "Stop weeping!" Exclamation point. "Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory." Look, weep not. That's good stuff. If you haven't, I think it's an NIV translation. I think it says kind of the same thing. It says, don't cry, weep not. That's important. Because if you can get under the circumstances, you can be under the circumstances. If you can rest in the victory that He has paid for, that He has died for, that He has bled for, then you can have the victory. It's not your victory to have anyway. I can't tell you how many times I'm talking to a Christian and say, how you doing? Well, I had a battle. You know, I was battling with the devil. And, you know, and I'm moderately compassionate. And so oftentimes I'll kind of deal with somebody along those lines. But sometimes it's just time for me to say, you know, if you're fighting a battle that's already been won by Jesus Christ, we've got some doctrinal issues here. If Jesus went into life and defeated the devil on every single piece of land, every single piece of territory, every single spiritual and natural event that took place, Jesus made a mess out of the kingdom of darkness and won the victory. And the last enemy to be put under feet, it says in Corinthians, I think it's 15, it says is death. Did Jesus beat death? So even the last enemy. So he went from battle to battle to victory to victory to victory. Beat the devil on the earth. Beat the devil in hell. Beat the devil in the heavenlies. And then now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he says, okay, now you go into all the world in my name. So all I'm going to say is that if you're going in your Christian life from battle to battle to battle to battle, you need to understand something really important right here. They're all won. Quit fighting for something that's already been won. You should be going from position of victory to position of victory to position of victory. That doesn't mean that there's not a sharpshooter up in some tower somewhere trying to get off pop shots at you. I'm not saying that we just float through. Right, Aaron? Butterflies? What is it? rainbows, butterflies, and G's. I said that. Flowers, butterflies, and G's. I said that in one sermon one time, and then Shanna went home and drew a little flowers, butterflies, and Jesus. She wakes up every morning, flowers, butterflies, and Jesus. I'm not, amen, amen. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that don't think that, you know, you being Christian all of a sudden just eliminates you from all the woes of life. No, it eliminates all the woes of life from overcoming you and taking over. You have a victor who has been victorious on your behalf. Jesus wasn't beating the devil to prove that he could do it. Did I lose anybody on that one? He was pretty secure in his own power and authority before he came here. You know, with the whole creation of the universe and all that kind of stuff. He was all right. He was on his throne. He was in pretty much control over his own destiny. He came here for us. He came here to show us that a human being, empowered by the Spirit of God, could overcome. Even when the whole creation was against him, even when they nailed him to a cross, even when they beat him beyond recognition, even when the devil came and tempted him for 40 days in the wilderness when he had no food or water, even after all that, he proved us that his flesh, upgraded by the Spirit of God, was strong enough. Through the Spirit of God. This is very important. This is where we're going tonight. It's not about being bold, just so you can walk around with your chest puffed out so you can tell everybody what they're doing wrong. That's not bold. That's rude. That's rude. Bold is, the Spirit of God lives in me. He has made His temple in me. He has put His power in me. I have something very important to do. You look as if you need to be loved. I have the boldness to do that. You look as if you need to be delivered. You look as if you need to be introduced to my Creator. I am bold enough to do that. David, a man under the old covenant, who all he had was a scar, was able to beat the largest foe on earth with a purse and 5 smooth stones. Amen. You got to listen to last week's sermon. Amen. That purse is important. So let's go from the beginning to the beginning. So we're going to go back to Genesis. I know Revelations is considered to be the last book, but I believe that's just the beginning of the end of the world. And so it's the beginning of the end. So let's go to the beginning of the beginning back in Genesis, and we'll go to the 49th chapter. This is Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the third son from Abraham, and he was declaring blessings over his children. He was on his deathbed, about to depart the earth. Those of you that don't think that your words mean anything, you just like to hear your own voice. Think that you can just declare anything you want to declare. Oh, you know, this economy is always bad. If anybody's going to lose their job, I am. People of the Bible realized that words, blessings, and cursings were some of the most important things that could be attained on this planet. So here he is on his deathbed. He's got his 12 kids lined up. And he is speaking through the Spirit of God and commanding blessings on his kids. And Genesis chapter 49, let's go to 8. Judah. Remember, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is Jacob blessing his son, Judah, who was, for all of you middle kids, he was a middle kid. He wasn't the oldest, and he wasn't a baby. He was one of the middle kids. Amen. All the middle kids say amen. Praise God. Amen. He was a middle kid. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. First of all, you got to see the parallels to Jesus Christ in this blessing of Judah. And this is before they realized there was a Messiah to come. They barely figured out anything by the 49th chapter of Genesis, and they were already declaring the Messiah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's Jesus Christ wrapping his big, strong, firm hand around the neck of the devil and halting him down. Hey, man. When you read the Bible, see what you're seeing. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. That means every generation ever will bow at the feet of Jesus Christ. Every nation, every tongue, every man, woman, and child will bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have just decided to do that now. Awesome. Praise God. That's a whole lot better than having some big, strong angel say, you better get down. Amen. Judah is a lion's whelp. That means a young lion. From the prey, my son. You know, Jesus died young. 33 and a half years old. Jesus died young. You know why Jesus died young? So you don't have to. That's important. I've been involved with a lot of funerals and a lot of bad situations along those lines, and I've heard preachers say, God bless them. Well, I don't know why God needed to take, you know, young so-and-so, 20-year-old, whatever. Amen. Good stuff. God don't take kids. You know, in any civilized nation on this planet, if there was some mean ogre out there that was popping kids off, knocking them in the head, and taking them to his little house, we would do anything it took to go find that guy and arrest him and probably put him in an electric chair. And yet we think that God, because he's God, doesn't even have to follow his own rules. He tells us to love and then he hates. He tells us to bless and to curse not and then he curses. All right, never mind. Judah is a lion's whelp. Jesus died young so we could have a full life. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Has anybody got an NIV? NIV version? Who are you pointing at? Isaiah? Oh, do I? It just reads like a Bible to me. All right, 49:9. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down, like a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? That's good stuff. Who dares to rouse him? Remember, just like the angel, hey, is there anybody strong enough? Is there anybody tough enough? Come take this book. I'll remind you about my biceps as an angel. That's bold. So here's Jacob blessing Judah, obviously blessing Jesus Christ, because this wasn't just about Judah. This was about Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's saying, Judah, you're like a lion. This is where Jesus gets the name, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You're like a lion. You're stealthy. You're strong. You're watching your prey. Don't you know, you don't have to keep your eye. This is important. This is very important because a lot of people don't understand this. You don't have to keep your eye on the devil. Now, come on. A lot of, you know, you can walk up to the average Christian. You can say, hey, what's going on in your life? Oh, well, devil made me sick. He stole all my money. He's keeping my kids from getting born again. He's doing all these things. You know, my house, I busted a pipe in my house. You know, the devil's doing all. I didn't ask you how the devil was. I asked you how you were. Oh, well, you know. You know, he's under my feet. No, he's not. He's all over you. And you're fully aware of what he's doing. You do not have to keep your eyes on him. You keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. Nowhere in the Bible where it says, it doesn't tell you as a Christian, as a person of God, to be watching your enemy. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He told that to Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 4. Not by might nor by power. You don't have to be on the physical offensive against the devil. That's God's job. You rest in security as to who God is and what he's doing in your life. That's really important. So many people are very concerned with what's going on in the kingdom of darkness. Don't be concerned about that. The kingdom of light trumps the kingdom of darkness any time. You focus on light, you have light. You focus on the shadow, you have darkness. Change your focus. And then you'll change the amount of light that comes in. So here we have Judah declaring Jacob declaring this great blessing over Judah. And then he says, who dares? Who dares to wake the lion? I love it that in Narnia that they portray Jesus as Aslan, the lion. And when he roars, you know, water stands up and it flattens stuff. But yet he's this big, you know, and little Lucy, I think, she comes up and she can just hug on him and bury herself in his mane. But yet, you know, the other side of that lion is, you try to come take Lucy. Amen? You try to come take Lucy out of his paws. You ain't seen teeth like that. Praise God. That is our Savior. That's our Savior to us. You can bury yourself in his lap. You can put your head right up against his strong chest. His arms can wrap and hold you tight. But to your enemy, who dares to wake him? Who dares to wake him? You know, Jesus was bold. Jesus was bold. Jesus is the one that stood in front of the most powerful man of the day. And basically, and I want you to get my heart here, basically smarted off to him. Pilate said, are you the king? Are you the king of the Jews? He said, you said it. Amen. Most powerful man on the planet. And Jesus Christ was so secure in who he was and what he was called to do that he was focused on his Father and he was focused on the mission. My mission now is to die for the sin of all mankind. Do whatever you want. Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to kill you? He said, you don't have any power that my Father hasn't given you. Amen. My Father. Amen. The power you think you got? You know, that is, again, there's a little bit of boldness on Jesus' part. You think you have power. You're funny. You're just such a silly little king, you. You don't have power. My dad's got power. Amen. Amen. Anybody remember, this is a really old movie. Anybody remember Crocodile Dundee? Okay, well, good. Got some old people in here. Crocodile, yeah, you guys, whatever. In Crocodile Dundee, you got Crocodile Dundee walking down, I think it was New York or Chicago or whatever. He's walking down the street. Man, misquote a scripture. Y'all don't even know where it's at. If I say he's in the wrong town in Crocodile Dundee, a 30-year-old movie, oh, he's in the wrong town. Jeez. All right, so in New York, they were walking down the street, Crocodile Dundee and a little gal, and this guy walks up in a Michael Jackson shirt, and he walks up to him, and he says, hey, give me all your money, and he gets a little switchblade out. And then the gal's like, oh, no, give him all your money because he's got a knife. He goes, knife? That's not a knife. And he pulls out this big, you know, Crocodile Dundee knife like a machete. And he goes, that's a knife. And then he cuts the guy's Michael Jackson shirt and he goes scurrying off. And then he puts the knife back away and she's, oh, crocodile. You know, that's us. I mean, if you're a guy, not to make you a girl or nothing, but that's us. You go walking into a dark alley. And don't you know the devil's at the end of the dark alley? Welcome to my alley. Oh, hey, have I introduced you to my brother and my father? Yeah. So, whose alley is it again? Yeah, it's your alley. You got to know what you're carrying. You got to know what you're packing. Jesus knew what he was packing. It wasn't just about what Jesus could accomplish in the flesh. Because in his flesh, in his body, he had the same problems you had. Jesus sweat. Jesus had to use the restroom. Jesus had to eat. Jesus had to drink water. His flesh was under the same basic problems that your flesh is under. But because he flowed so perfectly through the Spirit into his flesh, he didn't have to deal with any of that. He was bold on who he was inside, not who he was outside. Jesus is the one that said, sin doesn't come from the outside in. Sin comes from the inside out. Sin comes from the inside out. As he said that all the things of man, all the problems of mankind, all the darkness, all the disputes of man, they come from the heart out. They don't come from the outside in. You determine your environment. Your environment doesn't determine you. I've been in place. I mean, we ministry is about going into dark places and shedding light. That doesn't mean go run off into the, you know, the middle of a bad place on purpose just to go and tempt God. It's not about tempting God. It's about doing what you're told to do. Jesus was very obedient. If his obedience took him to the woman at the well, then he was there. If his obedience took him into the temple, then he was there. Being obedient is very, very important. But knowing who you are on the inside, being very bold about the Spirit of God on the inside of you is also very important. Jesus was the lion. Who dares to wake him? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's look at, see a little bit about the biblical descriptions of lions. Let's go to Proverbs 30:30. You can remember this because it reminds me of a gun. Proverbs 30:30. Praise God. The lion of the tribe of Judah, who dares to wake him? Actually, go to 30:29. Proverbs 30:29. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely and going. And comely means beautiful, goodly, stately, magnificent. There are three things which go well. Yea, there are four that are beautiful, magnificent. These four things are beautiful, magnificent, and the first one is the lion. The lion, which is the strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about this problem in my life. God, I mean, I know you're big and all that kind of stuff, but this is a big problem. You know what? Your lion doesn't turn away from anything. I don't care what your problem is. He is not scared of it. He's not scared of it. Man, if he can get you and him working together, hallelujah. That's really important. This is where we lose it. We think that it's all about God coming in and rescuing the day. And it is, but I want to ask you, where's he come from? That's important. Where's he come from? That's right. We keep thinking that he's going to ride in some flaming chariot out of the heavenlies and come down with his sickle and take care of your enemies and then fly back into the heavenlies. No. The next time Jesus flies out of the heavenlies, he'd be riding a white horse and that's it. Game over. If you see it, it's too late. If you see him, it's too late. All I got to tell you is hit the floor. Amen. Jesus is in us. Where comes our redemption from? It doesn't come from the east and the west and the north and the south. It comes from inside. This is where our redemption comes from. And the way to flow in the power of God, the way to flow in the boldness of God, is to recognize the fact that you have the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that's not scared of anyone, the one that dared to be waken up on your behalf. He's in you. Flow with him. Amen. Walk like a lion. Amen. The Newsboys, I think it is, has the song, God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's roaring like a lion on the inside. And some of us go into life and we're like, God, yeah, he's roaring on the inside. I'm going to take care of this problem. Meow. Hey, God, it wasn't very tough. You know what? Practice. Practice a little bit. Remember, man, we're doing movie day today. Remember the Lion King? Came out, yeah, little Simba came out, you know, King of the Jungle. Little bitty kitty. King of the Jungle comes out, he goes, roar, roar. You know, and then he's all practicing his roaring. Like he's roaring at, I think it was a beetle or something. He's roaring at it, wasn't even paying attention to him. And then his dad comes up behind him, roar! And the whole place shatters. That's your, you know, just practice roaring. You'll be like your daddy. You have to get an image of who your daddy is on the inside of you. Amen. Go ahead, Spence. Roar it out. Be like your daddy on the inside. You know, it blesses his heart to know that his kids are trying to emulate him. I'm a father. When my kids try to be like me, you know, when Gunner tries to take my tools and he rides on the Harley with me, and, you know, when we're doing the thing, it blesses my heart. Dad, you want to go throw the football? Yeah, let's go throw the football. And he moves like I do, and he grabs stuff like I. That blesses my heart. Don't you know that your father has his heart blessed when you're out there, all right, Dad, meow. It's all right. It's good, kid. Keep it up. Meow. Meow. You start to practice that, you'll get it. But you got to practice that. If you just let one little squeak of a meow out one time and say, see, I failed, I can't do it. And then you go hang out in the corner. You know, you're still going to grow up to be a lion. You'll just be mute. Seriously. You're still going to grow up. You are the image of who He created you to be. On the inside, He created you perfect. There is nothing wrong with the way that you were created to be. The only thing that's missing is our response to what was created. You respond to what He created you to be, you will develop that. The muscles are there, the tendons are there, the lung capacity is there. You were created perfect. Be what you were created to be. Be what you're created to be. The lion of the tribe of Judah is on the inside of you. On the inside of you. The lion which is strongest among beasts turneth not away from any. Turneth not away from any. He knows who He is. Jesus Christ knew who He was. David knew who He was. He said, oh, Saul, don't you know there was a bear and a lion that came to try to take one of my lambs? That was their last day. Hey, Goliath, tell me all about what you're going to do to me again. Oh, yeah, is this your head that I have in my hands? Yeah, that's right. That was the last thing you said, big mouth. Amen. David knew who he was. Jesus Christ knew who he was. Knowing who you are with God is called righteousness. You are in right standing with God. You know exactly who you are because God has declared who you are through His Word and through the blood of His Son, and then He's written it down for us to know. You are in perfect, perfect right standing with the Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Perfect. You are in perfect right standing with God. And the reason that you can't roar the way that you want to roar from that lion on the inside of you is you don't understand what God has created you to be on the inside and then empowered you through His creation. Go back two chapters. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursues. The wicked flee when no man pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. The righteous, the ones that know who they are in Christ Jesus, the ones that have had their hearts changed and they recognize that change, those are the ones that are as bold as a lion. Those are the ones. But the wicked flee when no man pursues. So do you run or do you roar? Do you run or roar? The righteous are bold as a lion. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know what you were created to be. What does this look like? Acts chapter 4. New Testament example. Praise God. This is the disciples. People think that it was just Peter and John, but there was more going on than just Peter and John. This is the disciples. Let me bring you up to speed here. Acts chapter 3 and 2. The disciples, Peter and John, in chapter 3, they were headed to church. And on their way to church, there was a fellow laying outside of the temple who was lame from his mother's womb over 40 years, it says. And he was laid every single day in front of the temple at the Gate Beautiful. And every single day, everybody walked by him and he begged them for money. So Peter and John, brand new Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, whole brand new creation in Christ Jesus, going to the temple. Going to church. Amen. What happens after you get born again, filled with the Spirit? Go to church. Amen. That's important. Because some people think they can do it without it. You know, I have a great relationship with God. I watch church on TV and, you know, hang out at the house and, Eat peanut butter and jelly. There is a family of God. A family of God. Yeah, well, I don't like that church. Okay. I got to cover this real quick, and we'll get back. Is this church about what we can do for you? Now, this is important because a lot of people look at it this way. You shop at the place that gives you the best deals and the best product. You buy the best vehicles based upon price and quality. And I hate to say this, the world, they'll marry the best spouse that completes them. You wear the best clothes that fit you right, make you feel good. You go to the church that does the most for you. They got the best programs. They got the most things. They got the prettiest people. They got whatever it is. We strive at Beloved Church to be whatever it is that you need us to be. But we are only being what you need through Jesus Christ. And we are a body. And you are a part of it. If you are the waist, guess where the feet and the legs are bound to go because you're not here? Nowhere. You have to be connected in order for us. So if it's just all about what Beloved Church can give you, we're still growing. We're still figuring some things out. But guess what? You have something to offer. Jesus Christ has put something unique, special, and powerful in you. We need you. Jesus needs you. It's not about whether you got a cool preacher on TV. It's not about whether you have a good relationship with the Lord all by yourself at your house. There's more to it than that. We need you. There are people here that need your testimony. There are people here that need the anointings that are on your life. It's just not all about you. And I can't tell you how many people I know that they skip church functions over hobbies, over pets, over ball games, over... You know, if Jesus said, hey, you know what? My right hand cannot be stretched out to heal the leper without you, elbow. Well, Lord, I understand all that, but don't you know I have a very important pool league to go to? Okay. Guess you'll go to the pool league. Guess we'll all wait for you. Oh, they died. The righteous know who they are. They know where they should be. They know what their life is consistent of. The righteous are bold as a lion. Am I telling you not to be on the pool league or whatever? Well, probably not the pool league because they're usually at bars. But it's not a good environment. But am I telling you that you shouldn't have any hobbies, that you shouldn't have any... No, I have hobbies. There's things that I enjoy in my time when I'm in my downtime. But anything that goes on in my life that gets in the way of my destiny is thrown out as far as I can throw it. As far as I can throw it. Jesus Christ needs me. And I need Him. And I'm dedicated to Him. And He's dedicated to me. And this is what it looks like. And I guarantee you, if I'm not here, it's not because I'm at the house playing hooky. Amen. If I'm not here, it's because I'm preaching to somebody somewhere else. If you get here and Dennis stands up and he's preaching, I will guarantee you that I'm somewhere else preaching. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm anointed to do. This is what I was created to do. And I am bold about it. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. The righteous are bold as a lion. Peter and John, recently filled with the Holy Spirit, disciples of Jesus Christ, where were they going? Hey, I'm going to church. Poor sick guy on the way to church. You know what he says? Hey, alms, alms please, alms. Alms. Left my wallet at the house, but you know what? I don't have any silver and gold on me at the moment. But such as I have, give I thee, rise and walk. And then, this is important, they jerked him up. How many times have you seen that? Well, I got this little pain. Okay, well, bless you in Jesus' name. Is it better? No? Well, I guess you weren't just meant to have it. Come on now. Lots of churches like that. If you come up here to get... Amen. You come up here to get prayed for because you got a problem, we're praying. And you're keeping your butt right here until we pray and manifest it. They did not say, oh, well, bless you in Jesus' name. Maybe one day you'll get up. Peace out. Going to the church house. No. They said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. And jerked him up. And it said when they jerked on him, immediately his feet and ankle bones became whole. So now they're walking. You know what they still did? They still went to church. They didn't get sidetracked by this amazing miracle of God. I prayed with somebody one time to get a job. They got a job. You know when their job was? Wednesday and Sunday. I prayed for them at the church so they could get a job so God could bless them with a job. They think that the God's blessing to them was to get a job that required them to be not at church on Wednesday and not at church on Sunday. I said, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. And that's not the right job. But it's a good job. God's got a better one. He needs you here. Amen. So they went back into the church house, Peter and John, with the now uncripple. Uncripple. That's good stuff. Uncripple. So you know what happens when you walk into the temple with a guy that sat somewhere for 40 years, jacked up? And you walk into the temple and he's leaping and bounding around and praising God? You get a little crowd. You just get a little crowd. You get a couple people wanting to come check it out. He'd been sitting there 40 years. Everybody in the temple went through the gate. 5,000 people get born again because Peter and John then preached to them the gospel. They're like, you think this is a big deal? God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is nothing. Now, that's a synopsis of their sermon. You can read their sermon there in Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 4, the religious folks come along. Don't you know these guys are always around? The religious folks come around and snatch them up and go put them in jail. They're like, you know what? These guys, they are messing with our religious program. Because we had all this power over all these people, and now 5,000 of these guys are following this Jesus character. What am I going to do? They just wrecked my job. I had a great job over here at the temple, cleaning the toilets, and now all these people are going to go follow Jesus? This is going to mess with... I had a lot of authority. I had a lot of power. That's a... Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelations. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Acts 4, 2 now. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. On a side note, completely on a side note, if you go to a church and they got a prison somewhere in the church, bad church. Just a complete side note. If you go in there and there's a little sign that says, prison this way, don't go back. Don't go back. If they let you out, they might put you in a hold. So they arrest them for preaching the gospel. Those of you that have been persecuted over your influence in somebody else's life through the power of the Spirit, praise God. Those of you that have had problems in your life because you are selfish and you are religious, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you're going around causing problems in other people's lives, get fixed. Get fixed. Quick. There's a difference between being persecuted and being persecuted for Christ. It's a huge difference. Howbeit many of them, when heard the word, believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas, the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. Basically what they're saying is this is a big old bunch of really important people. They all gathered together and say, we got us a little problem. There used to be a cripple guy who sat at the gate and now he's been healed and they're starting to preach some stuff and it's completely messing with our program. Completely messing with our program. So they called in all the big minds. They basically had a little CEO showdown. They brought everybody in there. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power and by what name have you done this? Who said you could do this? Who gave you the power? Who gave you the authority to walk around here messing with our program? Then Peter... Now, there are some very important things in this verse. Then Peter... I'll remind you that his name used to be Simon. Firstly, Jesus Christ changed his name because Jesus Christ changed the influence of his life. So firstly, we're talking about a man who's had his life completely upended by Jesus Christ. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's important too. It's not just Joe Average Peter, somebody who knows that Jesus Christ exists. This is Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. This is Peter changed by an influenced life of Jesus Christ and then also filled with the Holy Spirit. Many people think that you have the right to just go around in your life. There's a lot of Christians that think this, that they're the cops of the body of Christ going around telling everybody what they're doing wrong. I'm serious. There's a lot of people I know that are that way. They're going to go correct every single thing in everybody's life and everybody's doctrine, and there is not a gift for that. There is not a gift for the cop of the body of Christ. Peter was not a cop in the body of Christ. Peter was a Christian. He was healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, whatever it took to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He was not rude. That's very important. Boldness is not rude. Not rude. He said, "You elders and rulers of the people," he gave them their rightful respect for the positions that they had gained. But he also gave God his rightful place of ownership, of authority in the situation as well. And so basically what they go through here is they say, we can't, if this day we're being examined with a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, he did put a little dig in there, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now when they saw the boldness, you being bold in Jesus Christ looks like something. It looks like something. Boldness has vision. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Your boldness in the Holy Spirit after Jesus has affected your life will make people realize that there is something different about you, and His name is Jesus. If people wonder, if you have friends that are 5 and 10 year old friends and they don't think that there's anything different about you and you're a closet Christian and you just show up at church and you've never had a conversation with them, then you have not been with Jesus. At least not in an effective way. Because if you have been with Jesus, people are going to marvel and take knowledge that you used to be an idiot. Amen. I used to be an idiot. I was a fool. And now people take notice that there is something different about Steve Castle. He's an idiot on a different level. Amen. That's a blessing to me. When people, yesterday we were at a meeting, and there was a gal we went to high school with, and she's like, "Steve?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "You're in church." And I'm like, "Yes, so are you." Amen. She was. Yeah, she actually said that. "What are y'all doing here?" We're pastors. No, really. We're pastors. Oh. She marveled and took notice that we had been with Jesus. Amen. People that have been with Jesus look a little different. Boldness is not rudeness. Boldness is looking like Jesus. Boldness is following the Spirit of God. Amen? Can you be that way? The bold are, the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. But the wicked flee when no man pursues them. You know what that means? You're just scared all the time. Something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Wham! Something bad happens. You know what the lion does? I'm going to bring something on somebody. We're eating today, honey. Find me an antelope. You want to be an antelope in the jungle, or you want to be the lion in the jungle? Amen. That's a whole lot better position than the antelope. Amen. Praise God. Father, we seal His Word in our hearts. We thank You that You've given us the right through Your Son and through Your Spirit to be the new creation in Christ Jesus. We are not bold in who we are. We're not bold in our USDA choice flesh, but we are bold in our spirit. We are bold because You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah on the inside, and You roar with great force, with great intensity. You change situations in our life through Your Spirit. You change situations and problems in our lives through Your power. Father, teach us to roar. Father, teach us to roar. Teach us to be bold in who Christ Jesus is and what He's done for our lives. We thank You for this. We believe that we're praying in confidence. We believe that we're praying according to Your Word. We thank You that You've given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through Jesus Christ and His indwelling. We love You, and we pray together in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, be bold.